need a place to stay.
Welcome back, everybody. Just wanted to set this episode up real quick. We made a trip. Sorry, I'm recording this outside like a lunatic. Anyway, we made a trip to Arvon Brewery this week. Brian and I finally made it out of our remote, and we actually recorded our first live episode in just months. So it was really great to, you know, see faces and communicate and, you know, shake the rust off a little bit. So I'm so thrilled to get into this episode here with the guys at Arvon, Brett and Jake, just two real cool guys. And we actually learned a lot about beer, a lot about, you know, what it takes to start a brewery from the ground up. And it's just fascinating stuff. On that note, we'll get into it. Be sure to read the description this week. I'm not going to get into the ads, but, you know, you can support the show. Actually, by just heading to localroots.us, we have a new merch shop we're in the middle of launching, and we just redid the website, and also all of the social media for Arvon. Definitely go give them a follow, check out their website, maybe try to join the brew crew. There's a wait list, but it seems well worth it. Please just check that out, and that's all I have. Just check out the description and enjoy this episode. It was a really fun time. Thanks.
I ain't got no money, spent it on a jet ski, giving it up to scare everybody loves me. Now I ain't homeless, but I think of you. I ain't got no money, spent it on a laser, do a dance party, DJ in the basement. Now I ain't homeless, but I think of you.
I'm ready if you are.
Welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
The podcast without an intro. I'm snipping it officially.
It's in there now. It's always, the intro is here. This is the intro.
All right, we're at Arvon Brewing. We are so stoked to be here. This has been one of our favorite beers since, when did you first, Brian brought it into my life. I did not find Arvon.
I did, and I don't remember where I had it first, but I think it was from a brewery that, or not a brewery, something Tap House I was talking to you guys about, probably Hopcat, or Riverside Liquors. They have like a little bar in there too. And I was like, oh my God, this stuff is like really good. Cause I really love, like when M43 came on the scene, it was like, okay, this is the best beer ever made. Like this is great. And not to like compare beers, but, and I had your guys' stuff and it was like, holy cow, like this is like another whole nother level of just,
and it's in our backyard,
sweetness in the backyard. And they're like Arvon, and they're like, yeah, they sell, you know, go to their website, they sell beer, you know, it was like what, every 2 months or so, maybe every 3 months.
Yeah, when you guys were over month, but I didn't quite hit it most of the time.
Yeah, it was like if Arvon was selling beer in Granville, it was like I had to be home on a Saturday. I couldn't go go up north. It's like I had to be home, I gotta go. Evan, our friend Evan, came a bunch of times too.
Just for the Arvon.
I got Alex hooked on it too, who now also, I think he's like in debt now after COVID. He would buy like just flats. I'm like, hey, did you have that new sour? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how many did you get? I'm like, I got four. He's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got 4D.
I'm like, how'd you get it? He's like, I got 15. And I was like, okay. And he do that every week. Yeah. Like, okay, bud.
So that long road led us here, and now we're finally meeting the minds behind these delicious beers. And we have Brett excited here, who, thank you so much for helping us coordinate this. Absolutely. And getting this together. Yeah. And then Jake, how are you doing?
How are you guys doing? Thanks. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for sitting through like the most awkward intro that we've ever had. That was podcast
rough.
Ever.
That was pretty rough.
I was hoping like it would be funny or that like
yeah,
something would happen, but it didn't.
We never started rolling, did we?
No, but we'll start here.
Okay, yeah.
Here we go.
Keep it rolling.
So anyway, guys, I mean, thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us be in this. You said it's a new venue here, or how long ago did you guys move in?
No, it's so we officially got in September, and then Brett, I guess you should probably talk about it because you did all the renovations and handled that whole process. But
I'm enjoying the beer.
Okay.
he says he's busy.
Yeah, Brett was very busy during that time, but he did a lot of work to get it up and running to February. We officially opened, and we've been here since and haven't been back to Granville.
So you guys still own that building?
We don't own it. We're leasing it. And currently, yes, our lease is not up.
Okay. and then is it schnip schnip by, or is it going to be like,
or is that like your secret party house?
That's where they store like the. There's even a tier higher than
there's
these
a
beers,
new brewery. It's called Arvon. It's called. I don't know.
You know, I used to make jokes when we were doing that place. So we started with a one barrel system. I used to always make jokes that it's either like a large homebrew system that we're going to enjoy for a big expensive price tag and just have fun with. And, you know, maybe that's what it is today, but,
expensive hobby.
Yeah. We haven't been back there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the new system,
it's just why I do it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why drive a beater when you own a Tesla? You know, that's kind of how it feels.
This is the Tesla of brewers. This is right sweet.
This Granville didn't have like a tasting area, did it?
No, it was 700 square feet was the facility.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've never
you were,
been
to wait outside.
Yeah, quite literally. We'd open up the garage door, and so sorry for all those folks in the wintertime who had to stand in line outside for a while. We'd open the door and just have a folding table we'd put right in front of the tanks in front of the walk-in. And
all right, so I think we need to bring this back because I need to. I know little about like your history and stuff, and I mean you don't have to get into like the nooks and crannies, but walk me up to like I guess this moment so I could be caught up a little bit.
Yeah, so I guess
anyway, yeah.
Yeah, from the business standpoint, so Jake and I are brother-in-law, so I guess we probably started with the homebrew that Jake was making, and it was absolutely dynamite, so everyone kept asking for more.
What was it? Was there your name?
It's Beer just one. Like we do now. It's a lot of everything.
Okay.
You know,
which is what made it really fun, right? Yeah. Is, you know, so as a consumer getting all this beer, you know, I've been a beer nerd for a while. And so you're getting all this beer that you've never had, but then you can also give notes to the brewer of like, hey, I'd really love to see this. And then he'd do it. So that's kind of fun. Yeah, like, but we started the business officially in 2016, March of 2016 is when we started the LLC. We sold our first beer out of Granville in 2017. It was a one barrel brew house. So that's 31 gallons. So most homebrew systems are 5 to 15 gallons. So it was a glorified homebrew system. And
do you know what type of beer that one was? What was like the first?
What was the first one?
Yeah, for the first release, we had a few of them. Detour Reef was in there, and so was South Haven. I can't remember what other ones. I don't know if you remember.
White Shoal, for sure. White Shoal. And I think Dr. Hops.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which is... has since been retired.
Okay. Oh no,
I haven't seen that one.
Well,
he from the homebrew days. Malpractice. Dr. Hobbs.
No, it was just no. It was a Midwest IPA, and there was nothing special about it. It tasted fine. Just didn't set us
just
apart
evolved.
For many of you know why. Yeah, why buy that if you could buy at the time a better version that was cheaper called Two Hearted.
Oh
know?
Shit!
So,
like, there you go.
So we had to do something different.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I think we sold our first beer there December 2017. We had three kegs go out to local restaurants, and we thought we were like big time because we
feel
sold
great?
All the
it's
kegs.
Be so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Because you know I was taking around bottles trying to like do tastings and stuff,
really?
And I didn't realize you know at that time what everyone else was doing. Right, we were just kind of focused on trying to sell what we had, and so by that time,
I'm sorry to cut. Yeah. So you were just like walking into the places you want to sell, and be like, you guys got to try this, and then maybe buy a barrel.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
So I emailed a whole bunch of people with a really long story about how our brand would be good for them.
That's so cool.
And all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
And you're gonna recite it in full right now, right?
I don't even remember. Don't even remember. Yeah. I think we were probably focused on things a little bit differently than we do now, for sure. But. We were that size for 3 months. So by March, we were adding more tanks. I think they got put in April that year. And so we went from a one barrel system to a three barrel system pretty quickly. So tripled in size in a matter of a few months. And then from there, just kept churning out beer. Jake was still working full time until September that year. So September 2018 is when Jake went full time in the brewery. So brewing once a week and nights and literally nights and weekends, late nights and a lot of weekends. And then in September 2018, we won the Seven Monks IPA Challenge. And that's kind of
cool.
That put us on the map in a lot of ways.
Was it Dr. Hops?
No. No, that one was Jurassic Haze.
Yeah. Oh, that one's still in the
Jurassic
lineup.
Haze. That one's definitely still in the lineup.
Yeah, just brewed it Friday.
Okay.
No kidding.
So I'll be
around soon. Yeah, that's one of the first ones I tried anyway.
That
so
may have
like,
been the one I tried too.
Yeah?
I think so.
So solemnly.
I'm still trying to think. I just can't.
Okay. Brian had a long day at work, it sounds like.
Dude, I did, but anyways.
Okay, we can get into that later, I guess.
It's sounds like a good podcast.
Yeah, we can Brian's day wrangling day. Kids.
This around.
Yeah.
No, anyway.
Yeah, so where were we? Sorry, I think I
Yeah, so that's again. So that was kind of where it felt like we were starting to turn a corner and becoming a, I don't know, real brewery is probably the wrong term, but real brewery, I don't know.
Big home brew.
I know we kept expanding from there. We couldn't keep up with production in the other facility, so we were turning out, depending on the month, you know, 30 barrels a month or something like that, which out of that size facility is incredible, what everyone in the team was able to do on the production side. And so then it was in July, we were in California, like, well, are we gonna go bigger, or what are we gonna do here? You know, we can't just keep doing what we're doing. So
was it just demand that kept encouraging these next steps, or did you ever just take a big leap of like, all right, let's do it? Or is it kind of maybe a bit of both?
I mean, demand, but also like the team was being killed. Like, we have awesome people and the team that Jake leads, but like 700 square feet and literally everything was manual. They were applying labels by hand. They were canning literally by hand, one at a time. Everything was just so manual. And there was no luxuries at all. Like, I don't know. Like, everything's manual, like moving everything by hand. So I wasn't even doing the work, and like, it sounded miserable. And so it's like, we can't keep up. The demand was there. We couldn't keep up with demand. Everyone wanted our beer. And we definitely couldn't keep going in that facility, right? Mm-hmm. It was maxed for way longer than we maxed it for, or that we should have maxed it for. So yeah, I don't know if you have
any insights there. Yeah, I mean, you walk in, and the first thing you had to do before you start day is grab the pallet jack, wheel stuff outside in the parking lot so we had space
for people.
Yeah, because there's no space in there. Wow. Everything was so full. So that was really bad. But yeah, we just hit a point where the demand was at a really high and we couldn't keep up with production, and we said, let's move to a bigger space. And we've always said we're going to grow with the demand versus growing and trying to build the demand.
Sure.
And then, you know, putting that pressure on our consumers to buy more, and we just feel like we want it to happen more organically, and that will be better on both ends. People will want it, and they won't feel forced into buying something, and then also we can grow at more of appropriate speed.
That makes total sense,
And we don't have to take out a big loan or anything, so we don't have any external investors, and we don't have a loan to start. We do now, but...
It seems worth it here.
It's a little bit of a jump, but for the first facility, we were able to test it out, and, you know, if no one bought the beer, then... okay, but you know, if they did, great. That was always the goal, but
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
so that leads us to where we are right here.
Yes,
right?
That's right. Yeah,
now we are here.
So how are you guys feeling here? Like, would you ever want to get bigger?
We've talked about that a lot. I think we've always kind of said that our final destination will be our own built facility.
Okay. Like you build?
We build it. Okay. Yeah. We build it to exactly how we want it to be. Location, who knows?
So there's a possible evolution of Arvon.
Yeah, I don't think this is... I definitely would say this is not the final stage.
Yeah.
This was kind of... We were looking at building, and we talked to some builders, and they said, okay, you know, 2 years out for an astronomical amount of money. And
I bet.
I can't imagine what that...
We can't wait 2 more years. We want to be out in... couple months, and so that was July we had talked, and then we got here in September. So we were trying to find a spot at that speed, not 2 years later. So we got here and we're like, okay, we'll be here for a while, we'll see how this goes. Maybe we'll be here forever, maybe not, but I think the goal has always been let's build our own space and kind of go from there.
Well, it's great that you have, like, obviously a visual medium podcasting is not, but I'm staring at a lot of
the viewers could see that.
If they could
what do you call that? Beer equipment, we'll say. Just tubes and tubes of beer. little tubes, big tubes.
Medium-sized tubes.
Medium-sized tubes. Actually, a lot of medium-sized tubes. But then you also have what it sounds different than the last place is the seating area, this big, gorgeous bar area. Has that been, obviously with COVID going on and everything, have you been, able to enjoy that? Like, is it fun or is it chaos? Like, what is that? I mean, where do you even start with that nonsense of everything that's happening?
I think yes and yes.
All the above.
Chaotic and fun. Certainly it wasn't what we were expecting. So I guess to fill in the listeners, so we've got, I don't know. It's about a 5,000 square foot spot, and it's about 50-50 tap room and production here. And the tap room facility holds, or supposed to hold, about 80 people. Yeah. Obviously, 50% capacity is not quite 80. So it's a little bit different. But we opened February 21st, I believe. And we had lines out the door all night. And so that was extremely fun and chaotic. I didn't know that many people knew about our beer. I didn't know that many people drank craft beer, but let alone know about it. But that was pretty fun. The whole first weekend was a lot of fun. And then 3 weeks later, we had to close the tap room. Well, so that was an interesting change in our business model. I almost said,
why'd you have to close?
Yeah. So it wasn't elected, I don't think. Yeah. But so that was an interesting, you know, twist. And so over the last 6 months, I guess now, we tried different things out, which we would have never tried, which also makes it fun. So, cool. You know, we tried out delivery to different towns around the state. So we deliver a lot to Metro Detroit, Kalamazoo, Lansing, mm-hmm. Lakeshore. Yeah. We would never started doing that again, because we actually started our business kind of that way. Sure. We had memberships that we delivered across the state when we started a long time ago. So, you know, we were kind of blessed that we had that template already, something we'd already done. We'd kind of seen how that works logistically and try that out. So we absolutely would have never done that before.
Do you think that's helping a little? Like, I know, like you were saying, like, Tyler, for instance, just ordered it the other day. Like,
is my that cousin helping? Got some in TCE and
Traverse City is getting to, you know, is that helping grow like the Arvon name, or is it just, you know, a good, you know, sustainable thing for like right now, maybe?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of both. Yeah. I don't know. So, you know, when we had our Granville location open on Saturdays, we'd have people drive from 2 hours away, you know, quite a few, right? Yeah. So it wasn't overly surprising. Like when we were like, hey, let's test out, see how our beer will do if we deliver it to Kalamazoo. We knew there was already a handful of fans there. We thought we'd have like 15, 20 deliveries, something like that. We had 55 the first time.
Oh my God.
So I worked a full-time job, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this between conference calls. That was my sick day, I guess, for everyone that I work with. who should be listening to the podcast.
Maybe we can edit that. Nobody listens to this. Yeah. You're fine.
So that was kind of eye-opening and kind of fun. But I think since then, too, it's allowed us, you know, people are telling their neighbors about it, or having their neighbors, you know, get their beer, receive it at their doorstep now that they're going back to work. And so then their neighbor's trying it, and, you know, just spreads it a little bit more, spreads the, you know, experiences of what we're doing and how we're doing it a little bit different across the state. And so I think that, it's been pretty fun.
I love hearing these stories of people like finding a good way to adapt and, you know, sustain everything.
Like, you guys just tore it up. I feel like just because COVID, like, thank you. During that time, it was, I mean, it was Arvon Day. Thursday morning was Arvon Day.
It brought a little hope, right?
And it's cool. There's something going on today. It's awesome.
That was one of the coolest parts. We have, you know, these people that we got to know through these releases over the last couple of years, and they're walking in and they're like, yeah, I just lost my job, like, you know, all these things. And it's like, oh yeah, like, I'm really sorry. And they're like, yeah, but you're my like one thing a week that I look forward to.
I love that.
And so that was really cool to see it, especially in the beginning, like when we had no clue where this thing was gonna go. That was really cool to see those people having a little bit of fun, right, in this world that's chaotic and messy and gloomy and uncertain. Like, there was that one thing that you knew you were gonna have Thursday morning. And you can still have it if you want. But
still sold
that everyone was enjoying. Yeah, that's right. So, man, so that, I don't know. That made it really cool and rewarding. I mean, also for our staff, right? So one of the things the deliveries allowed us to do is keep staff employed, right? Because we hired a bunch of people to staff a tap room that was then closed, right? Yeah. So, you know, I think we were able to do a decent job of giving people something to do. You know, we have people who are Cicerones, which is like the sommelier for beer. Oh, cool. You know, he's the one doing doorstep deliveries, so I don't think that's what he was expecting. Always doing it with a smile, so, you know, things like that. It's just, I don't know, a lot of things came together, and I think, like, everyone, we just tried to figure it out,
man. Well, congrats for, and things seem fine and bright, or is there anything like looming over you ever? Like, I mean, sure, there's,
do you
always
have a doom unknown, like, sentence coming
out? This is our last week of being in business.
I mean, hopefully that's not the,
you're gonna make the announcement at the end of the podcast, but
wow.
No,
I would have felt like just such a piece of shit. Just,
no, I mean, we've kind of changed our mentality to, this is the new norm for at least now.
Yeah.
And we have hopes of eventually having a tap room with full capacity. But for now, this is the new norm, and we're kind of It feels normal. We've been doing this longer than we've had the tap room open. I was gonna say.
This literally is a new normal right now.
Yeah, for us, you know, this is just this is what Arvon does right now. So,
if anything, it only gets better from here, right? Like, if this is like the new base level, hopefully is exactly the right answer. Yeah,
yeah. We've learned you never know.
Yeah, right.
So we know you guys love beer. Obviously, we love beer too.
What gave that?
What gave that away? I don't know.
We like.
What else do you guys do? I know Jake. You mentioned that you used to be a big snowboard instructor.
Yep.
Brett, you mentioned that this isn't your full time job.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys do besides make the best beer on earth?
So for me, I heavily into snowboarding growing up. That was a big part of my life. Now, like I said, not so much. I think it's been. Last time I went snowboarding, I think it was 5 years ago when I went to Tahoe.
It's pretty serious shredding though.
Yeah. It's beautiful out there. But after that, got married, had some kids, things changed. Soccer was a big part of my life. Still try to play as much as I can. But with COVID, there's no,
that's tough,
we didn't, we didn't play at all. So I played soccer all up through college. And then I do a lot of fishing. Currently, that's one thing I can still do. So
luckily.
I fish, and then I'm a dad, so I got my kids.
Schedule's filling up quick.
So I've got a full-time job, so that keeps me relatively busy in addition to this.
This is almost your big hobby.
So this is my big hobby. I've got two little ones as well. So under three and a half, four. I don't know how old she is now. Sorry, Lauren.
One of those numbers.
Sorry, Lou.
Yeah. I don't know. They grow every day. It changes.
Are you going to write it down every day?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember birthdays? What? No.
Yeah. I actually used to be into... mountain biking a decent bit. So when I moved back here from New York, kind of stopped doing that as much. It's hard to carry the kid carrier behind the mountain bike as much.
It's
adding
a little more risk to when you fall.
It's not just a scrappy,
maybe a doctor trip.
But I still enjoy running a lot, so I run pretty frequently.
Well, open invitation right now if you ever want to go snowboard with us anytime. I got extra boards and stuff too.
I don't have an extra mountain bike,
but you can ride
with us too.
Oh, you got boards. Okay,
and
good.
Boots and
all right, let's make it happen.
Okay, I'm there. Go to Canonsburg.
It's right around the corner.
You can bike and snowboard there. Same day sometimes.
I don't have a bike.
Bike's harder to loan. You don't have an extra.
A little more chairlift up and then just go down on your bike. Is that how that works?
Does Canonsburg
No,
do that?
But they should. They've been talking about it forever. It's a huge movement to get people out there, and the owners don't want to do it. But
there's a lot of places that can't work.
Crystal Mountain does that.
Out the hard part. I just want to go down.
Tell me about it. Really? Thank you. Man, I love mountain biking, but burning calories is not why I signed up for mountain biking.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be cool.
How can I drink my beer and ride up hill, you know? It doesn't work.
Maybe we can solve this. Let's
Camelback.
Yes, actually, I've heard nightmares of people putting beer in their Camelback.
Because
or
of pressure,
any,
yeah. It doesn't work.
And you can never get it out.
Like, do explain that. I just meant that it makes all your water taste like shit from the
Water tastes like beer. Yeah.
But just pressure. You need counter pressure. So if you don't have counter pressure pushing back on top, the carbon dioxide in the beer will then leave the solution and you'll just have foam the whole time.
That's probably what happens too.
That's a different drinking experience as well.
Unless you like just drinking foam,
And I do.
Mix that with shaking and...
Would you ever do that on a ride?
Put beer in my Camelback or beer in water bottle?
You, I know, drink more when you ride than anyone I talk to.
Yeah, I just bring... Oh, yeah.
But would you ever do a Camelback? like a 30-miler? Like, let's say we do the fake Iceman.
I can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely, I would. 100%.
You'd do a backpacker beer?
Yeah.
In your Camelback?
Yeah.
All
right. Isn't Iceman really hard, though?
Yeah.
It's tough.
You've done it? You guys
have done it? Yeah, we've done it a couple times. He's got his hat.
Oh.
This is the worst one.
It's tough enough to want to buy a hat to let everyone know that you did it.
You did it, yeah.
Yeah. It totally just depended on the weather. So it's, rain or shine race. And last year, it was probably the worst ever, conditions.
Really?
You're in mud, I don't know, up to your shin on part of it, and it's 33 degrees and just wet, soggy. But the year before, gorgeous. Was probably like 45 and sunny and dry the whole time.
Oh, so it's less of the Iceman, more of like just like the
they call it a nice man if it doesn't rain. Yeah,
you do.
It could be. Is it where it's like Bel Air-ish up there around that area?
It is.
You race from Kalkaska to like TC.
It starts in Kalkaska and you end in Traverse City.
Yeah. Some people stay in Bel Air though, and it's kind of no matter where you want to go.
Mm. Bel Air has it's called Glacial Hills. That's another great trail system. Yes. If you're into like hiking or anything, gotta check it out.
And shorts,
obviously mountain biking and shorts brewery. Yeah.
And if you're into beer,
yeah,
check out this tiny little brewery.
Yeah, one you've never heard of.
Yeah, I never heard of shorts.
So I kind of want to talk about sours for a second. Obviously, I've talked about it on the podcast. They're definitely my favorite type of beer.
Yeah.
Obviously Arvon's probably. With best sours, I think. I'm sincerely racking my brain for like
agree.
A like close second of like a go-to. And I think one problem is there's nothing like regular. Like I almost would say Green Zebra only because it's like always going to be on a shelf as of late. But
yeah,
can you think of like a regular like household name sour really?
Like Speciation comes to mind.
Okay,
but
yeah,
they're totally.
But I think them too is like. They don't have regulars, do they?
No, not really.
Or if they do, it's called like Black Cactus Sunshine Bat Blood 32.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, if we do you have a style of sour? Like I know it's the kettle,
correct? Yeah,
but there's different kettle sours you have that don't. I don't. I mean, the kettle usually has the initial like bite of you know they're really sour, kind of the warhead flavor to them. But I don't know. I know you've had kettle. I've had some kettle sours that you know they're just not good and.
Yeah, but
what is your
style? No, I like everything that's a kettle. I think. Teach us.
Yeah, teach us.
Please teach us.
So, I've had a bad kettle recently.
Help us,
so.
Help us on this beer podcast sound like we know about beer. Yeah.
So the main difference between us and Speciation is Speciation's doing everything is sour throughout the entire process. So from when they brew it, they will then directly pitch in their house culture, which is going to be a mix of some sort of yeasts, some sort of bacteria, whether it's lacto or PDO or whatever they have, probably a blend. And theirs is for the most part wild. Like I think Mitch said he was the one who then captured that culture and then they started pitching it everything. And it's just been growing and morphing since then from all the different fruit they put in and whatever's on the fruit goes in there. And it's constantly morphing.
Before we get too far, there's just like a mother dough yeast, but for sours? Is that what
So there's, I could be wrong, so I don't want to give out some false information, but from what I understand, theirs is constantly morphing. They're just like constantly growing and their culture's growing with their process
and
the fruit.
Cool as hell.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's basically like their terroir. So I would say what they do is much more complex and, cool. what we do is much more controlled, and we have to have that control because we don't have a lot of space. We have almost all of our beers are just clean, non-sour beers.
Okay.
And to control bacteria from spreading and just making everything sour, like Speciation, we have to sour it in a kettle with a very clean lactobacillus. Which only produces lactic acid, which is like warhead sour. Mm-hmm. That is, warhead, Sour Patch Kids, lactic acid. It's just sour. It's clean. It's just sour.
Interesting.
And then we kill it. So then we keep it in the kettle. We sour it in the kettle for 2 days. And then we boil it. And when we boil it, it kills everything. And then from there, it's safe.
What if you let it go 3 days?
It's going to hit a terminal pH. So it will continue to drop and get more and more sour, but eventually it's just going to cap.
Oh, okay.
And then it won't get any more sour, and then you're just letting it sit there.
Interesting.
Okay.
It doesn't like explode or something.
It does not explode. No, nothing crazy happens. It's going to sour to a point, and then it'll stop souring, and then from there you're just wasting time, and eventually it will probably go bad if you leave it there for a very long time.
Okay.
But we leave it in the kettle for a weekend. So we start it Friday, and then on Monday I come in and I boil it and I kill everything. So all the bacteria that would potentially ruin our other beers is contained in the kettle, the boil kettle. And then we just burn it, kill it, and then it's clean beer. And then we just treat it like a normal beer. So a kettle sour is just when you're souring beer in a kettle, it keeps it contained and safe so that your hoses, your gaskets, your tanks, your floor, nothing else is going to get contaminated with this bacteria that could potentially ruin other beers.
Very cool.
It's very clean. It's very safe. It's not super complex. So that's why we add a bunch of fruit to it, because adding fruit to it is going to add a lot of more flavor, a lot more complexity. Versus like if you do, you know, the speciation way or like, you know, wild fermentation, open fermentation with a cool ship, you're bringing flavor from the yeast and the bacteria that's floating in the air. And then that is what's going to impart flavor into your beer. So we don't have a very, like, we use a clean yeast and we use a clean bacteria. So we don't get that. So we add a lot of fruit to it. And that's how we get our kettle sours.
That's fascinating. Nice. I feel like I just already learned much. Okay. Like, sincerely.
So many folds in the brain just now.
That's Brian's thing, is whenever you learn something, it's a fold in your brain. Okay. but another thing that I, you know, love about the sours I have from Arvon is they're never just like a raspberry. You know, you got all these like crazy concoctions. Like, can you explain what I'm drinking?
Yeah.
Is it out yet? Like, what is this?
What is this? Because whatever this is, I might be my favorite.
It's so good.
It's coming out Saturday for our brew crew.
All right. So that's tomorrow morning for anyone listening the day of.
Yep.
So
Out, this comes out Friday. So,
yeah, this will be out Friday. So
tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow,
it's worth the trip, please.
It's this is a kettle sour with lactose. Okay. So when you add...
Oh, that's the one where you add the lactic acid.
No. So lactic acid is an acid. Mary. Lactose is milk sugar. Shit. So lactose is unfermentable sugar, which adds sweetness. So whenever you add bacteria and it sours a beer out, it will dry it out because acidity gives it a perception of dryness.
So they're just two words that sound alike.
Lacto and lactic. Yeah, they're similar. And so we add sugar back into it that's unfermentable. Okay. So it'll be residual sugar to sweeten it up. So it does taste sweet versus just like straight sour. Because eventually sour gets to a point and you're like, this is vinegar, right? And we don't want vinegar. So we added lactose to this. And then we added fruit. So it's blueberries, raspberries, and strawberries. So three berries. Let that ferment out, and then we transfer that into a tank full of vanilla beans and granola.
Whoa.
So good. Is that like a typical strategy, or is that just something wild you're trying out?
Other people have done it. Okay. I got this idea from Other Half. They do these crunchy beers, and so they do like a bunch of stuff in ours or in theirs. I wanted to keep it a little more simple. I was like, safe things. So vanilla and granola, you know, those are safe.
Wow.
So it wasn't an original idea. Some other people are doing it. I think Ascension does some of this too. Similar stuff. So
is that a local? I haven't heard of Ascension.
Yeah, they're on the east side of the state. Okay. Northville, I think.
Citybell has a beer similar to this. It's called like their Snow on Monroe.
Yeah, so that's their lactose. That's Berliner.
My fiance's Alexa's like one of her favorite beers.
Yeah,
but this is the only thing that I can think that's like kind of close to it.
Yeah, that one's very similar.
It's almost like a softer sour, I want to say.
You know what?
Yeah,
I thought of like your only like if I'm seriously talking about like some of my favorite beers, your only contender, because I sincerely put you that high up. Austin Brothers, though.
Austin Brothers.
Some I good think stuff. They have a very similar like sour style and New England style.
Are you guys friends?
Yeah, do you guys share recipes?
Do you
hate each other?
They're
the evil.
Let's start a brewery rivalry.
Yeah. We shared a tent at Winter Beer Fest. Yeah, so Winter Beer Fest 2018. They were right next to our neighbors. And those guys are super, super nice. Really cool. Yeah, I had a good time hanging out with them. And they're really cool. But no, we're not enemies.
Not enemies.
Not at all enemies.
They're one of my other favorite breweries.
I think so.
Because they make sours in New
but
England.
It's, yeah, it just comes back to like, my favorite kinds of beers are the New England and sours.
Yeah, so,
you guys are nailing them.
They're very approachable beers. They're very familiar flavors. I mean, beer, most traditional beers acquired tastes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the flavor that you get from it are very subtle, and it takes a while to like understand that, where I think like these styles of beers are very approachable to anybody.
Sure.
Whether you like beer or not like beer, you will appreciate them.
Do you guys feel like Because Brian, like us in college, like we started going to like, you know, it has to be like triple hop, super bitter. like we were so into that. And I know, at least for myself, I've regressed into like I said, New England's and sours are my favorite now. But like even 2 years ago, I'd be like, oh, that's like what? You're drinking a popsicle. Like I would tease a person drinking a sour, basically. But now it's like my all-time favorite. So has any of you guys also like regressed, would you call that? Like to almost
I think we're evolving. I don't know if you regressed.
I've regressed further than you guys. Yeah. I'm to the point where I'm just drinking
claws.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, white claws.
No, no, all the time, too.
I drink them all
the time. No, that's you falling off.
No, okay. So I have, yeah. Okay.
Then you have to be falling off. We got to restart.
Have you guys
To the point where, for the most part, I mean, with my job, I have to taste beers throughout process.
Oh. What a bummer. I'm so sorry.
They don't always taste good until they're done.
Okay, fair enough.
but yeah, I'm more to the point where when I drink a beer, I'll drink a Pilsner or something lighter. I don't know, Brett, I don't know where you're at.
Yeah, it just depends
Black
on the
Tuesdays
day.
Tuesdays every day.
No, I think the most purchased beer I've had this summer is Corona, so okay. Which is maybe the wrong thing to say at this moment. But no, yeah, I mean, I like the sours. When it's super hot out, I enjoy a nice sour, specifically the berries. When it's hot out, New England's are a little rough, I think,
they are.
Personally, especially if you get doubles, triples. It can be rough when it's 90 degrees out, but I still enjoy them, you know. So, but in terms of, I don't know if it's progress or regress or change or cyclical or any of that stuff, right? So, you know, one of the things that we do a little bit different with our IPAs is we still do have a bitterness component to them. They still have that IPA. They're still an IPA, you know, most of them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's something that's a little bit different than a lot of folks who are just turning out juice. Which
gives balance.
So
smart move, too. So that way you can cater to the newbies, but also be like, dude, I got you to like all the hipsters.
I think it gives balance because if you have, this is a completely my opinion. It's nothing against anybody who brews beers that are zero bitterness or extremely sweet, but I find that you still want your beer to be beer, which is refreshing, and you can keep coming back to it. And it's for me, if I'm drinking something that's very very sweet. And it just tastes like, you know, sweet, sugary juice. And eventually, it will be cloying. You know, where the sours, the acidity balances the sweetness. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think for the IPAs, in my opinion, and hence why I brew them this way, is that there's that bitterness to balance out the sweetness. So it doesn't become cloying. You can keep drinking it versus impression, where it's like, I have 4 ounces. That was really amazing, but I only want 4 ounces. Because that kind of, I feel like to me, that's no longer what the point of beer is. You know?
Yeah. Now I get this. See, for a lot of New England's, it's the initial taste. I'm like, damn, that's really good. And then by the end of it, I'm like, I don't want that again. Like maybe tomorrow, but like not, you know,
it's
anymore.
Either the thickness gets to me, like it's just like, oh, I can't have this and a meal or I will pass out from obesity.
It's
tough.
Diabetes coming.
But I love it.
No,
it doesn't stop me.
Yeah. Are you drinking...
This is Blueprint.
Yeah. Okay. So that one's got lactose in it too.
As a New England?
It's New England, but
is that a normal thing?
it's not super normal. People do it. We do a few of them, but I think this is a good balance of lactose, like the sweetness with the hoppy bitterness.
Yeah, nice.
And it's good. That one's very much orange marmalade for the most part.
This
is actually a beer Brett designed, so.
No kidding.
That's and then it was improved. Thank you for that.
Hey, someone leaves the blueprints, but then a contractor comes in and builds it
up. And one of the things I like, you know, on the tap room side, we oftentimes have different approaches to, you know, we don't just do the same beer with different hops or whatever. You know, there's lots of different levels of bitterness. For instance, you know, the Profound Technique we just released has got a nice hop bite to it for those folks who are into that. And then Silk in the Wind's more soft or Double Down Amarillo or something like that. And so, you got this spectrum too that when someone walks in the door and they're like, oh, I don't like IPAs. It's like, okay, well, let's test that out a little bit, right? Do you not like IPAs or do you not like Palate Wrecker by Green Flash, right? That's 120 IBU or whatever it is.
Like everyone's mom would be like, what are those IP? No, I don't do that.
Right? Yeah.
But
that's way too many views.
And I think too, if we think about... Go ahead.
No, IBUs is record. They're EBUs.
Oh, yeah.
Not worth cutting you off. Please carry on.
Ruin the flow.
That was the podcast in a snapshot. Isn't doing that bullshit.
Yeah, it's interesting thinking exactly about that. Because, I mean, we were all in the, like, that's the beer world we grew up in, right, to a large degree. And I think over the last 5 years, we're seeing this evolution, specifically in Michigan, but all across the country in beer and across the world as well, that it used to be very traditional, right? And maybe it's only traditional because that's what I became 21 into, right? But at the same time, yeah, the flavors are being blown out, and some of it's unbalanced and some of it's, you know, crazy or weird or all these things, but that's part of the fun of it, right? And that's part of like expanding that canvas and what you can do with it. And I think that's pretty cool. And I think one of the things that is unfortunate is there's a lot of our friends' moms who are like, oh, an IPA, I can't do that. And they haven't come back to craft beer, right? And I think that's why, to a large extent, why some of these other things, you know, White Claw or whatever, are becoming more popular, because it's like, oh, that's different, right? And interesting. But I think if they came back and tried what craft beer is today, like, you may not love our sours, but if you don't and you like sours, maybe speciation is the play for you, right? Like, there's all these different takes on what beer is now, and I think that's a really cool thing, and, you know, hopefully can invite some of those folks who were turned off by craft beer 10 years ago or whatever, just wasn't their style. There's so many more takes on it now, which is pretty cool.
I love that. Wow. As like a, you know, a way of putting that. And
yeah, no kidding.
There's also, like, in that same breath, I feel like, you know, I won't name names or anything, but there's still breweries too that I think haven't caught on to what you just said. So I love that, like, you guys have those, like, foot in these new trends and trying new things. I mean, like, everyone should be doing that, yeah, in my opinion. I mean,
like, I think, Larry, kind of what you're saying, it's like, I totally get a place that has like a staple beer.
Mm-hmm.
But like, all your whole, like, everything on tap is shouldn't be your staple. I don't know.
Let's get into it. What do you guys?
I want some places to do some different stuff.
Yeah, in my opinion, I'll go back to a place like Third Nature's, like a new
Third
one
Nature,
on the
yeah.
scene.
They're oh yeah,
right
yeah,
in
yeah.
my backyard. Yep. And you
great
know,
outdoor space.
Amazing.
Yeah. Probably the best, honestly.
It's massive.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Ah, it's so good. Yeah.
But one thing that keeps me coming back there is they are doing a good job of, like, switching it up every week, yeah. And they have, like, two or three home runs that they, like, always have, like, the whatever
3 NEA,
yeah. Yeah, right, and they're pretty good, but then they're trying everything else new, and that's, you know, what
sometimes they're good
back.
And sometimes they are god awful, but, like,
no,
I appreciate it though. I'd rather have
that.
Try it.
It's good, yeah.
thanks for giving me that bad beer. Well, I'll be back next week.
Yeah,
I will though, because
it'll be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think to bring it all full circle, maybe what's the philosophy in creating your tap list? Like, do you guys always play the hits and then go totally wild? Or is it just like, hey, nothing's in stone, I'm always going to be fully creative. Like, I want to keep trying something new till I, like, yeah, break the ceiling.
So I feel like your menu is always just rotating. It's almost like on the other end, it's like almost frustrating when you're like,
that
oh,
one
was
last
so good.
Was
I'm
so
like,
good. Yeah.
It's gone. But then I'm like, point. Always like, well, there's going to be something super awesome this week too.
So that, yeah, it's a combination of Brett and I think, you know, what normally happens is I put together a brew schedule for the month, and I kind of do it how I want to do it, with some selfish decisions in there, okay, with brewing one too many pilsners. And then Brett comes back and says, hey, we should have more of this and this and this, and then we come together with a decent balance. But for the most part, our staple beers, you know, Jurassic and Voyager and Detour and Harbor Beach, those are brewed. We try to aim to brew it once a quarter.
Okay.
But other than that, it's just rotating beers. Most brew weeks look like two or three return brews, and then one, two, or three new beers. We want to constantly put out new stuff and have it rotating and changing. And, you know,
I bet bringing back some of those too is, like, probably, I mean, from a marketing side, pretty awesome, because then people are like the Jurassic, if that's not, yeah, always available, but we all know it's so good, we're gonna be first in line because we know it's not
back,
always,
yeah,
available, you know, like the scarcity play or whatever.
Ooh. Yeah, so, and
I mean,
yeah,
is that by design or is that just how it works out? And
yeah, little calm,
they're telling me to cut this from the podcast.
No, so yeah, don't give away trade secrets.
I mean, right? Part of the reality is when you're doing beers like these, they've got a bunch of hops. I mean, we put 6 pounds plus per hops per barrel in almost every IPA we do.
So to contrast that, a normal, like a traditional style IPA has 0.5 to 1.5 pounds of hops somewhere in there probably per barrel. And so, you know, we're at 4 times that at minimum. And so, you know, just hop sourcing and hop contracts and all that is a bigger issue. So we were, you know, we've been talking, you know, it's this time of year because this is when harvest is. This is when all the hops are scarce, right? Because they're all last years that are running out and, you know, we're running out too. So we got to try to figure out where to get them. And so when you don't have a beer that has to be on, right, you don't have to brew it. Right. And so you can then move things around a little bit and people don't even realize that you're in a hop shortage and you don't lose that customer base because they're looking for whatever's next. And so, you know, it allows us to just better manage our ingredients and better manage our business. Yeah. So, and one of the things too, we want to do is we want to keep every single beer fresh. And so one of the things it tells consumers is as well is if we come out with Jurassic Haze today and you see it on the shelf in 4 weeks, it's not going to be fresh, right? Because we haven't hit that next release yet. And so every can has a date on it, but also then they know, oh, that's from the last time they released this on this date, you know, if they're paying attention. And so we turn out 4 to 6 batches a week typically. And we want to sell through that out of here in about 2 weeks because that keeps everything rotating, everything fresh. So then the consumer knows they're getting the best experience that they can possibly get, right? And so hops are a flower. You want to keep it fresh.
What is that? What's that? Don't go past this slide. Do you have one? Like if it is still on
expiration date? Expiration date?
No, it's called the don't go past this line.
The don't go past this line. Yes.
I like teach you it in brewery school, Brian. You don't know.
Industry lingo.
Yeah.
I think the best is probably within 4 weeks. What is acceptable in my mind is probably 2 months. I've had our beers that are 4 months old and they're still fine. Like there's nothing wrong with them. They taste pretty good. But it's so far removed from what it was that if that's your first, I don't want someone to have their first experience to be a 4 month old New England IPA. Cause it's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's fine, but you don't want to pay $5 a can for a fine beer, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, I'd say, you know, a month, drink it in a month. If you get it, please drink it within a month. And keep it cold. Don't PSA, put it in your 90-degree car.
I wanted to ask, what happens to New England? They seem to be like so just like susceptible to taste change if they get hot, if they get cold. I know I can't buy beer from this like grocery store up north because it's always warm. Like, yeah. They make these like really sweet New England's in there, Foster's. And this past weekend they had Boken on from Creston that I haven't seen in a long time.
Because it's from last year.
It's probably from last year, but it was a recent date. But it was... it got warm and it had this, you know, it had this like weird funky taste to them.
What goes on? So
is there science to it or is it
I don't know like about the funky taste. Yeah, no.
That's another industry term, of course.
the biggest factor, I think, there's two big factors. One is that you're heavily reliant on aromatics when it comes to New England. You want that super hoppy, you know, just burst when you first open the can. And oxygen kills that. So if there's any sort of oxygen in your beer, it'll kill that. And when you warm a beer up, it reabsorbs that oxygen. So then your dissolved oxygen levels go up and it kills that beer.
Wow.
Versus a more stable beer, like if you have a stout and if it's got oxygen in that bottle or in that can and you warm it up and you cool it off, you warm it up and you cool it off, it's very sturdy. It'll probably still taste similar. But the amount of hops that go in there, hops die as soon as they hit any oxygen. You look at a bag, you open up a bag of fresh hops and they smell great. You come back 2 hours later and it's been left open, it's not going to smell that great. It's kind of like the banana, right?
Mm.
Peel banana and you leave it out, it turns brown. Same thing.
Noble banana. Noble
banana. It oxidizes. And another big factor is most New England's have a lot of oats in it.
Mm.
And oats turn brown when they hit oxygen.
Interesting.
Straight brown. So if you ever poured a New England IPA, it was brown, that's because it's oxidized.
And it's bad. So,
yeah. So oxygen is the enemy of every beer, but specifically for New England's. And when they get warm, they reabsorb more oxygen, and so they'll get even worse.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Okay. There's like a taste change a lot of times. Like if you're slow drinking and the end of that beer, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, New England. That's why John Kimmick always says drink from a can. John Kimmich, he's the alchemist, you know, heady topper and stuff like that.
No, I pretended to know who he was.
Yeah.
he's the guy who basically started the style. So cool. He will say that he is not part of the style because his is not as hazy. You know, when it first came out, everybody complained it was too hazy because beer was clear.
Okay.
And now people complain it's not hazy enough.
So true.
But he's essentially the first person to do this style of beer. They used an English ale strain, which is what everybody uses for New England's. And they heavily hop it in a different part of the process versus traditional. But anyways, what he always says on his can is drink out of the can. And that's because he knows that in the can, you will protect your beer. And as soon as you pour it into a glass, that timer starts and you got 15 minutes to drink it, you or it's ruined.
Okay.
With that being said,
some hot tips. Get out your pants, folks. You're drinking. I think that's pretty.
With that being said, I tell people drink out of the glass because your experience will be better. Just drink it fast. If you're gonna drink it slow, keep it in the can.
There you go.
Okay.
So all right. With the koozie.
So more you know.
Have you ever had to give certain instructions? Like I don't know how into distribution you guys are, but
M43, where they say roll the can or pour
something
quarters.
Like that. Yeah, so that's probably on the consumer end. So you need instructions there, but also for the distributors or what Ooh, Brian good question, was saying, the place up north where you can't buy it from, they probably don't know the difference between anything. They're just doing whatever's convenient for the employee. So,
yeah, Brett deals with that, and I think he's pretty aggressive on those guys.
Yeah, I try to do my best. Yeah. So
at the end of the day, it's how your product's perceived. If it's the consumer first time doesn't trying
think,
it,
the pit stop ruined my beer. They think, Arvon ruined it.
Exactly. Yeah. They think, they brewed a shitty beer. Who handled this? Never say that.
But if you think about it, it just sucks for everybody, right? Because that consumer is not going to be necessarily going back to that retailer.
Okay.
That,
well, if they're smart enough to know it was the real
run. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe they will or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just think they don't like craft beer.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not coming back to anybody. Fear. Maybe they're not coming back to us. They probably paid some money for that can.
Sure.
And they're not getting the best experience. Mm-hmm. And so, what we do is whenever... So I mentioned we went and did tastes for these different... restaurants, right? I did took bottles around and stuff. We haven't done that in a few years, right? Okay. So I typically have people reaching out. We have a wait list of retailers, depending on area and stuff. And so if you're a retailer and you want our beer, reach out. Add you to the list. We have a couple geographies we'd like to be that we're not in yet. But what we do is we're just up front. It needs to stay cold. It's cold from when it comes out of our tank. We keep everything cold. There's pallets of cans currently in our walk-in. Everything's cold all of the time. And then it arrives cold, and please keep it cold. Additionally, we have a timeline of when we want that beer sold.
Nice.
And then we kind of do our best to monitor that.
Okay.
So if you're ever in a store and you see it just sitting there on the floor and it wasn't just delivered, please reach out. Let me know. Because, as Jake was describing, that's not what's best for the beer. And that's not what's best for the consumer. And that's not best for us. It's not best for the retailer. And we tried to do our best with that. Now, understandably, not everyone has cooler space. But there are beers, as Jake was mentioning, that are okay when they warm up and cool down and all those things.
Thank you.
So,
blueprint?
Want to make sure you're doing the beer justice and ultimately giving the consumer a good experience, especially when they're paying the price that you're paying for craft beer nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not nominal, right? It's something that you worked hard to earn and you should be rewarded in a good experience.
All I'm thinking now is how are these bigger distributors or, like my mind goes to an all day IPA or something.
Yeah.
And, it still is one of my favorites, obviously. Yeah. It's just a classic beer. How are they maintaining that? I mean, maybe obviously type of beer aside, let's say they had something like a New England that was that.
Yeah.
How do you...
That beer is just so massive and it always tastes the same.
How do you do that on such a big scale and maintain quality? That's got to be so challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, even at the scale you guys are at now, I bet it's not easy.
See, that's one of the reasons I think I go to all day all the time or Two Hearted in the stores because I know... It's gonna taste good.
Tastes
the same.
Much more durable beer than New England's. B, it's got a much longer shelf life, so it will last 6 months. And B, more similar. And C, I think it's just a testament to how well they really pay attention to their brewing process and then their selling process and the packaging process, and they're testing it throughout the entire time. And they have a lot of equipment and a lot of practice to make their beer that good. But I know, even with the Brute IPA that they had think it's just called Brute.
Yeah.
I know their sales reps are complaining because it had a 4-month shelf life. They're like, we can't, this is too short. We can't deal with that. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
where'd that beer go? Well, obviously, maybe they threw it all away after 4 months.
But Brute? Toss it?
Yeah, because I haven't seen it.
Oh, those were their seasonal. So okay. I think it was the winter time.
Was it a winter beer?
Yeah, no. I think it came out.
It'd be a great summer beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're not critiquing, but anyways.
But yeah, no, but anyways, but yeah, but I know like they, like for them, that was too short. You know, they're saying this is going to be tough. Okay. Where for us, if we have a beer that lasts 4 months, this wow, that awesome. Lasts so long. But we're not trying to sell through 1,200 barrels a day.
Yeah. And it helps you to go, going back to, you know, maybe 20 minutes ago on this record, but when you can change up what you're doing every month, that's probably a big part of it. And lets you do that still.
Yeah. It's super impressive to me. Anytime I see like Hazy Little Thing or something like that from Sierra Nevada, I mean, that's one of the reasons you don't see the breweries that are doing massive hazy beers. You don't see them distributed. And that's part of the reason is they just don't. They don't work as well, right? So
and that is one that you see everywhere.
That is, yeah, that one is. There's probably a lot fewer hops. They probably pay really close attention to the quality. You know, we don't know those guys very well, but I'm guessing that's how they deal with that. But yeah, it's definitely something to consider. It's one of the reasons why we've maintained and continued to do self distribution. So the retailers that we're at, we deliver to ourselves. We know exactly what happened to that beer. Literally it's touched every hand of the employees, right? Going through production. We know exactly what happens. And so, yeah, so there's no blind spots. And so if there is an issue, we can go back and try to pinpoint it in the process. You know, luckily we haven't had many issues along the journey and we try not to, but, so I think that's a big part of it. So you were asking a little bit about distributors there for a minute, and there's some distributors do a phenomenal job. They have, you know, chilled warehousing and chilled delivery vans, and that's certainly one of the things we ask when we start talking to retailers is, what's your ability to keep this cold? Michigan has a law, you can't deliver, I think it's the same day, I think there's like a pause period in there. We don't work a lot with distributors, so I don't know exactly what that is, but
we'll deal with that,
it's
like
24 hours. So you have to have to have a cooling facility, right, if you want to keep these things cold.
So it's like a weird
silly laws that they have, and change them all.
So that sounds like, first of all, very fascinating. I love hearing about it, but also like a nightmare.
Like you guys are doing some awesome stuff and you obviously care, and your product shows it, but there's a lot of just like time and effort put into what you guys make.
And it shows.
And you guys, it shows. I mean, also every beer you get from Arvine like tastes like unique, it's special, it's good.
Thanks, guys.
And we meet it too. We're not buttering your bread.
So, what do you guys go to outside of Arvon?
Brewery wise?
Yeah. What do you drink? What do you, you know, it's a Tuesday night and, or special night, even.
It could be Tuesday night. It could be a Tuesday night.
Maybe Tuesday's a special night.
Well,
today's Tuesday.
I'm very sensitive to weather. As to what beer I'm drinking. As soon as it got cold, I haven't drank Two Hearted like all summer. And I immediately was like, I gotta get Two Hearted. And like, there's double Two Hearted out. I'm like, oh, this is freaking great.
Did you try that yet, by the way?
Yeah, I haven't opened mine. Awesome. Dad and I had two. It's
okay.
They tear you up. They're good.
11%. I haven't had that one yet. I gotta check that one out.
They're good.
I got a Horrox. Shout out to Horrox. Thanks, Carly. Thanks, Carly.
I like the heavy IPAs recently. Rockford Brewing has a really good one called Little George for their double IPA. And then when it's colder, I usually like the heavy, darker, chocolatey stuff. You know, KBS if you want.
Oh, yeah.
400 calories in your beer.
Oh, yeah.
Then you don't need the meal.
That's it.
Yeah, like, I don't know where you're. Man, the only places I've gone in like the last 6 months, I live in Rockford, so I have, you know, Rockford Brewing and Third Nature, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
That's basically all I've gone to, and, you know.
Support local.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. We're both mug clubs there, right?
Yeah.
At Third Nature?
No,
Rockford? They wouldn't let us into Third Nature, so we
had to. Oh, they wouldn't let you guys in?
They were full. Same with you guys.
Too popular.
So we had to find the next spot. No. Just kidding, Rockford. We like you too.
I've used it once.
Oh, really?
It was COVID hit. And we're
Cool. They're extending it, by the way. Did you hear that?
I did.
Very cool.
That is cool.
Thanks, Rockford.
What are your guys' kind of go-to beers that aren't Arvon beer?
Good question.
Or do you drink your own beer at home?
I would. I assume you would. I don't know. I'd be like, I created this. This is mine.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you get to a point where, you're not
tiny and listen to your own album at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Or have, yeah, like, have parties and invite everybody.
Well,
over
the same
to play
reason we
album.
Would never
yeah.
listen to this podcast. That's for sure.
I spend my days critiquing my beer and trying to figure out how I can improve them. And so it no longer is enjoyable. If I'm at home drinking my beer, I'm just constantly thinking about, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, I'm going to do this next time. And writing things down. And
it
kind of
tastes like work then.
Oh, it ruins the experience. With that being said, there are some beers that I do enjoy drinking. One is Voyager. I can always drink Voyager. No problem. I feel like that beer is just... perfect. So
can you explain it just a little? I don't know if I've had
Voyager. Voyager is the, surprisingly enough, is the first one that we created. First one I created when we went to Boston, we went to Treehouse, we went to Trillium. We were tasting through these beers, trying to get a good grasp of, because at the time there wasn't many examples in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, let's go to the source. Let's learn from the people who have literally created the style and what theirs tastes like. Let's put our interpretation on that, not our interpretation of an interpretation of an interpretation. You know what I mean? So like, let's get to the source and we'll figure it out. So we did that, tasted a bunch of amazing beers. And then on the way home, I put together this recipe, and it's Voyager, and it's a Galaxy Citra Mosaic.
Okay.
7.2% New England. And to me, that's my favorite. That's definitely my favorite. I can drink that all the time. That's probably the only New England I can just always drink.
Awesome.
That or, what's the rye one?
Switchlands.
Yeah, that is Switchlands. Solid. That's another one I can always just drink. I don't know why.
Okay,
that's a good one.
But outside of that, I drink a lot of Founders seasonal, depending on what it is.
Okay.
So I like the Pilsner. I like the Brut. I really like Mosaic Promise. Yep. So I drink a lot of that.
When, that's soon, right?
Right now.
Yeah, oh, right now?
Yeah.
Is it out?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I remember drinking
I could
that.
Go for
August 21st or something. I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And then my wife's very much into barrel-aged stouts. So
awesome.
Yeah. So we always just, we drink a lot of those too.
Would you guys have a favorite?
A favorite barrel-aged stout? Yeah.
Is a big name one, maybe?
Yeah, big name one. I really like Barrel Age Expedition. I think that is absolutely fantastic. That's probably the best.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome.
Is that what you were really into those last winter, right?
Actually, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Expedition, but it's brown.
Ah.
Or I guess it's wood.
Yeah, it's like it's a barrel.
Yeah.
Delicious.
That's really
good. Big Bad Baptist is one that...
always so good. Always available.
Yeah.
Big Bad Baptist from Epic.
Okay.
They do different ones. There's really a number on the back with different coffees, and like they'll do different like coffee roasters and stuff. Yeah. And so each are like slightly different, but it's almost always available. You can almost always get it. It's a solid price.
It's so,
so cheap for what it is, in my opinion.
$13.99 a bomber.
It's so good, yeah.
The best one I just had was the was it sherry and vanilla, I think, maybe?
That sounds good.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Epic, you're saying?
Yeah, okay. Big Bad Baptist variants.
Variants of that.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's available. I mean, you go to Meijer and get it, so.
Okay. Well, let's check. Yeah, I've not had that. Dragon's Milk is, like, usually my go-to.
Yeah.
I think it's always good. I mean, I like it better than KBS, I dare say. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They have some good variants. They've had some rough variants, I'll say. They've had ones I really didn't like, and... that's like a big purchase of like four beers that you don't play. And
you're
like.
Did you get Triple Mash?
Oh, no. No, I did not get that.
Awesome.
It was great.
I haven't had this year's. Okay. I didn't get this year's.
It's typically really good.
I think it's always
good. A lot of people are talking about the Solera, too.
They should just make that the new Dragon's Milk. It's always 17%.
Always that. It's always, strong wine.
That's liquor, essentially.
Yeah.
Port.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what is wine peak at? Usually like 15-ish?
Yeah, if you're 15, it's usually like a strong.
Depends on who you're talking to. Yeah.
It could be if you're a little baby.
No. Just some of those California cabs
big or
16s and
stuff.
They print 16, but it's really 17.
Because
there's a 1% alcohol that they're allowed. No, they're allowed to be within 1%.
Yeah. Is that just a thing there? Is that worldwide?
Beer is the same thing, but it's a different percentage. But yeah,
beer is half percent. Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it varies. Yeah.
So if you see a label of 7, it could be 7.5, it could be 6.5.
Most likely it's
around 7.
I have a pet peeve of beers not having the ABV on them.
Yeah.
That irritates me. Shorts usually does that.
They always do it, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, this is really good. And I don't always know the ABV. I don't always have like cell service to check. And then it's like, I specifically remember the marshmallow key lime one at your house, Larry. And I had all of them.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably why I don't remember. Like,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't function the next day. I'm like, what the hell is in those beers? Oh, it's like 8% or something. I'm like, okay.
They'll knock you out. I think I literally Friday, I think I had, you picked up a different Arvon sour. The latest one was like 8% or something.
Yeah, the double kettles are strawberry.
Oh, because it was, right in the title, I just had to read. Oh, yeah. But anyways, after that, I was like, man, for one beer, I'm feeling loosey-goosey.
It feels saucy. This is right.
Sometimes it's a nice little surprise if you're only having a couple, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah. This one, the one you're drinking, however, is like 5 or something.
Perfect, I got to drive this home anyways.
So. When does that one come out?
Saturday.
Okay, that's just for Brew Crew?
Yeah, Brew Crew exclusive, but it will be on tap, so.
Yeah, someone's going to be on tap starting Saturday, probably through or close to into the next weekend. We have reservations online if people want to make them, but it's going to be in cans Brew Crew exclusive. So we do a quarterly release for our Brew Crew members, and I think we have 4 exclusives this time coming out.
4.
So they're all 6 are new beers that we haven't brewed before, and they're all kind of a little bit different takes on things, kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit more. So pretty fun release.
Cool. So we're at about an hour here. Before we like maybe wrap up, can you maybe explain, you know, I'd love to hear about what that is. How can people come enjoy your beers more? Yeah. You know?
Is there anything else you guys really want to just like let everyone know about Arvon? Where's the name come from?
Brett, it's from the wall right there. We came here,
and that was on there.
It's on the wall.
Like, oh, well,
I guess this is it.
Yeah,
walked in, and Arvon was written in this really cool logo. So we're like, check.
It says Brewing Company. Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
Okay. We felt like it was a prophecy we had to fulfill. It worked out.
So yeah, tell us, new listeners or someone who's hasn't heard of Arvon, how do they come say hi? What are some of the opportunities they have here? I like this, I already forgot what it's called.
Tap room?
No. I got that one.
This is a building.
Brew crew.
Yeah.
I was just like floating in space. And
no
was
problem. I thought it was tap room. Tap room's open Wednesday through Saturday. Uh-huh. It's 4 to 9, except for on Saturdays it's 12 to 9. So come on down. Reservations preferred, but we can handle walk-ins as long as it doesn't get too crazy for the most part, because we don't have a good waiting space.
It's like a cool outdoor area.
Yeah. We got outdoor
space. Is there seating outside?
There's awesome. Picnic tables outside.
Awesome.
And some shade sails, so if it gets too hot or sunny, we got those there.
Perfect.
And then the Brew Crew is who's been supporting us from the beginning. When we first started the business, it was Brew Crew only. So we started up a club, or however you want to call it, where they would prepay in advance. They'd say, here you go. And then they would get 6 random beers, 2 of each, but 6 random. At the time, it was only 6 of their bottles.
Yep.
Big 750s. So they kind of just put their faith in us, right? But now that's kind of evolved into what it is now, where we still want to make sure that we are looking after those people, because those are the people that help support us from the very beginning.
That's awesome.
So we just do the new stuff. We try to do some really cool stuff. Really
is it
exclusive.
Able to join, or is it
you
an
can
exclusive
join it.
Crew?
Yeah, there's a wait list, but you can get on the wait list, and then as it opens up, you get in, essentially. And very on cool. the wait list gives you access to beers like the one you're drinking right now.
Okay, and it's worth it, people.
That counts. If I get on the wait list, I can get that one.
You have to buy it, but yes. Yes. Yeah. So you get on the wait list, and then that will give you access to buying
cool,
what's
I'm doing
left,
that when I get home.
Lovely.
There you go. And then every Thursday we release new beers. Brett, this is probably better for you.
Yeah. So Thursday morning, 8 a.m., typically if it's not a Brew Crew release, we release all the fresh beers for that week. It's going to be some...
And
New
it's
England's,
weekly?
3 or 4 New England's in a sour every single
Arvon
week.
Day.
Wow.
Yeah,
Arvon
every
day.
Single week. there's typically one on there that doesn't make it, at least one that doesn't make it until the next week. But we have increased our production a lot since the start. So for those folks who were a little frustrated back in March of not being able to get beer because we were selling out in a few minutes.
All right. That was wild.
We've tried to help in that area.
It's cool though.
Also, if you're not from around the Grand Rapids area, so we do delivery to the Grand Rapids area right to your doorstep Thursday nights. And then on Friday and Saturday, we deliver to a rotation of cities across the state. Everything is south of Mount Pleasant, but across the state. And so you can find details on our website. There's a little link there for the delivery page.
And we'll have that all in the episode description.
Perfect.
So just... Yeah, you know, scroll down or whatever.
Makes it easy. Honestly, the best way to find out about what we're doing is on Instagram at Arvon Brewing Co. Okay. Is where we try to sling all the information, let the people know what's coming. I forget anything. We do have some retailers across the state, very few. I think there's 12, and we don't deliver every single week. It's when we have inventory available, we share some of the love. But other than that, that's about it. So, yeah.
So, I have a quick question on that. Are there any places other than Arvon, like, at your door to get some of your guys' beer?
Yeah. Like in Grand Rapids, I think Deschuler's, Horox, Rishi's,
Coppervine, Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right. Well,
okay. Those people.
So there you go. There are a couple
check
places.
Check them out. Yeah. And it's not call a ahead. Consistent thing. Right, yeah, okay. That's a thing. Don't go there expecting that it's going to be there. You try to get out as much as possible, but for the most part, it's, when we get excess inventory, just spread it out.
And it sounds like that's a rarity until recently, right?
The extra beers. Yeah. We've increased our production about threefold since February to really help try to get the beer out there. The new facility allows for a little bit of breathing room to do that. And so we were able to, looking at the demand kind of in March and April, we were able to increase our production quite a bit so we could help to meet that demand. So now we typically don't sell out. I think the fastest we sold out was... We had a beer that sold out in 7 minutes a few weeks ago.
Dreamweaver is probably the fastest.
Dreamweaver was a little too
less
fast.
Less than a minute.
We had 32 people order at the exact same time, which made refunds a little difficult and trying notify people. So sorry for all the folks who didn't get their Dreamweaver.
But it's nuts.
We may have a barrel-aged version coming this winter, so stay tuned on that one.
Even better.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in March, it was a lot of, selling out within... 3 minutes, and that's really hard to manage. Making sure it goes on right on time, and if you can think about all the technical issues that anybody who has a job deals with, it's definitely a challenge. So definitely have more production now. We can get it out into the world a little bit more, make it a little bit more accessible, and get it to people to try and enjoy.
Wow, that's so cool. And just the evolution of that too in the last couple of months, having to switch that over to triple. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think we went through 5 online purchasing platforms in 6 weeks.
Oh, just for dealing with the limited quantity?
Yeah. So at one point, when we started, we're like, okay, we're going to just print every single order.
I'm sorry. Did you say 6 different ones?
Yeah. Five different in 6 weeks. Wow. Yeah. So we were printing every receipt at one point and manually going through. And then when someone would come and let us know they were here, we had to sort through the pile of receipts. I think once we reached 100 orders, I was like, okay, we can't keep doing that. It was, getting here noon to try to sort through receipts for 4 hours. So that was a little rough. And then, we typically have well over 200 people a week that are ordering for curbside and doing the deliveries on top of that. So yeah, it's definitely grown and evolved, and really appreciate everyone's, support through all this COVID stuff. I mean, it absolutely wouldn't be possible without everyone who supported them. So if you think about starting a new business or starting a new location, you do not have a lot of cash in the bank when you open the doors. That's supposed to come later. And so we definitely needed everyone's help and support, and appreciate everyone who showed up and continues to support us.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well put.
Absolutely. Just one more question. How many staff people do you guys have?
Yeah, so we had 4 prior to opening the tap room. Now we have 12.
Okay.
We've grown the team quite a bit. Yeah. And they're not all taproom staff. Obviously, with increased production comes increased hours. And so we were able to bring 2 of our staff members who've been on with us for over a year now, which seems like an eternity how we've grown, but they're now full-time in the production side and assistant brewers, so that's it's awesome. Been really awesome and rewarding to bring them in. Yeah. Just there, yeah.
Production's been more, still three people.
More responsibility and more hours.
Same three.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I mean, this has been such a good time.
And thank you so much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This has been so
thank
fun.
You guys
absolutely.
For having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
for
Arvon's closed. Yeah. Their brewery or their tap room is closed, and these guys let us in to let us talk to them. And thank you, guys.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Awesome. Any last-minute plugs? I think you got most of it out there, right?
I'd say follow us on Instagram.
Give
that's,
a shout out.
That's where the information
again,
is.
In the description.
Yep.
I'm pointing down again.
Look down.
It's like the third time in this podcast I like pointed or did
you
something.
See those tanks?
Like, it's written on the wall. No one knows that. So, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's my time to sign off, right? All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Brian, any other notes? Sorry for being mean at the intro.
That's okay. There you go.
Okay, good.
We'll talk on the way home.
Oh, man. I'm in trouble.
No, just again, thank you guys. And if you haven't checked out Arvon, go check them out.
It's a must.
Order if you're in Grand Rapids, you're a maniac if you've never tried ordering their stuff. They'll deliver it right to your door, which is sweet. Tip the driver. Yeah,
that's the
proper sign-off.
Yeah. Hey. Well, bye.